Coronavirus has arrived to Gaza Strip, and many cases were recorded here. What is your estimation to the situation now?
Corona-related situation in Gaza, for me, has two distinct elements of it. On the one hand, there is some good news in that there have so far been a very low number of cases, 13 in total, and they are all inside the quarantine areas managed by the local authorities. So to the best of our knowledge, the virus has not yet been transmitted into the local communities here, so it can still very much be contained. We've also seen hundreds of people released from the quarantine centers without any symptoms of being infected or ill. So that's another good sign. Having said this, I remain very worried with many colleagues that we are taking the foot off the brakes too early, because the potential remains very high. There's very high risks that there will be a local outbreak. Why are we saying this? It has to do with not enough tests being available. So there's an urgent call for tests, and that includes that in some of the people who've been released from the quarantine areas were not tested. So we don't know for sure if they really are not cases amongst them. What we also don't know for sure is whether all those that were put into quarantine, several hundred people, 1,800 at one point, really had no contacts whatsoever with any of the local population. That is not 100% guaranteed. And then finally, we know that a couple of people will be coming in from Egypt in the next few days, I think starting today, 250 potentially. And there are more than rumors that some of them may be cases and may be ill. So there's another risk there that a new caseload of people coming in may bring it in, and if it's not very well handled, it might spread. So the situation is on the one hand one where we seem to have so far been spared a local outbreak, unlike most places in the world, but on the other hand, we need to remain extremely vigilant and at high alert to really contain it and prevent a local outbreak, because if there is a local outbreak, it would be a total disaster. After the years of blockade, the health sector is in a very weak position, very weak state of affairs. The hospitals, beyond 1,500 people or so getting ill, the hospital sector would not cope in treating those ill. So we must do everything possible to prevent the outbreak.
UNRWA has started precaution measures even before recording the first cases. May you tell us, please, about these measures?
Yes, of course. So when the virus reached the region more generally more than a month ago, I immediately said to my UNRWA colleagues, we now need to not speculate whether it's going to enter Gaza or not. Let's do everything possible and act as if it's here. So the first measure we took already more than a month ago was to close all our schools. So 282,000 children from our 276 schools have been at home for more than a month, as have the almost 9,000 teachers and education staff. And we are trying to provide online support, learning materials and mentoring and coaching online and through phone. Now, a second thing we did very quickly after the virus reached the region was to introduce strict triage systems at our 22 health centers. So what that means is that people with respiratory illnesses and symptoms were directed to a nearby school that we reopened as a health center to make sure that people with respiratory illnesses and symptoms were protected from all others and vice versa. And that's working very well. And then after the first two cases became known, some 2 weeks ago maybe now or so, we stopped the food operation to over 1 million people, and we took a few days to think through how can we deliver the food in a more safe and healthy way. And so for about 10 days now, I think we've been delivering food at home, because it's much easier to manage crowds, have crowd control. If you have individuals delivering food at home, you can train them, you can provide them with protective equipment. And overall, the feedback I'm getting is that that works rather well. And we are now looking ahead to a possible outbreak. We're trying to prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. What that means is our health centers are ready to provide essential primary health care over the phone through telemedicine. We will continue to provide food in safe ways and so on. And we will, all those of us who do not need to be out to deliver services directly, will and are already working from home. So those are the main measures UNRWA has been taking so far.
It is well known that UNRWA is facing financial crisis and now dealing with more complicated situation. What is the UNRWA capability to sustain the services?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We can make or play a role in fighting the COVID-19 virus because of our core capacities, our teachers, our health staff, funded through our program budget, as we call it. Now, as things stand, the program budget is fully funded till the end of May, roughly. And after that, as things stand, if we don't get further pledges and money, we will run out of money in June. And that would become a huge problem, both in terms of fighting the coronavirus, because the staff that is involved in all the measures I described earlier are our regular employees. We have capacity built over years, and that needs to be maintained. And of course, if we had to stop our core services because we run out of money, we would also not be able to provide the vital education, health, and other services that are meant to provide the refugees with dignity and some hope for the future. So things are critical, and my message to the international community is, don't just look understandably at the corona situation. Please make sure that UNRWA can continue to play its role by funding our core budget beyond the end of May.
Refugee camps are the most dangerous places in the case of outbreak because of overpopulation. Do you have a plan to deal with the situation in case something happened?
Yeah, so there's two things we're thinking about so far. One is, if there is an outbreak of a crisis, what is referred to as social distancing remains as relevant, if not more, than in the current phase. So in other words, even in overcrowded places like refugee camps, we're trying to work towards people changing their behavior and staying at home. Because social distancing doesn't mean everyone stays on their own. You need to at least protect your family. So even if there's 12 people sharing a two-bedroom shelter, if those 12 do not have the virus and stay at home, they will protect themselves and everyone else. So that will be critical. If the virus breaks out, to prevent it from spreading, people need to, as difficult as it is, even more strictly adhere to those kinds of rules, as well as, of course, all the hygiene measures. I know many people don't have safe drinking water, but the World Health Organization tells me that it is, for most people, safe to use the water that they have, at least to wash their hands properly. So that will be one avenue. We will continue to try and influence the necessary behavior changes and actions to ensure that it doesn't spread if it breaks out. And then the other thing we're doing is talking with the Ministry of Health and others, the World Health Organization, around what can be done to have enough facilities available to treat patients who become ill. What we know is that a majority of cases tend to be mild to medium, so they will not necessarily have to go to hospital. They will need to have some form of care in isolation, and we're working with many actors to look into what can we do collectively, including UNRWA, to ensure enough space will be available outside of the camps, to come back to your question, to treat the people who become ill. It's a desperate race against time. I'm not at all trying to suggest this would be easy, but this is the best we can do under the very challenging circumstances here under blockade.
The impact of coronavirus is not limited to the health sector, but economy will be affected. And as we know, Gaza is facing already a recession. How would you possible to deal with the consequences, even with the lack of fund you are facing?
No, for sure, I think so. And I think we are seeing already some of the impact of COVID-19 that goes beyond health and indeed around the world. We see economies collapsing and we're seeing some of this here. So the authorities here have rightfully, in order to fight the COVID-19, closed restaurants and cafes, for example. And that means a few people are out of job and out of income. And I've heard predictions from colleagues inside the UN system, but also Palestinian economists that are worried that the unemployment that was already 50% before Corona hit here may rise to at least 70%. So yes, we are very worried as UNRWA and as UN about the impact of the COVID-19. The focus right now is on preventing it breaking out and containing it. But even if we succeed to keep it small in Gaza, there's no doubt in my mind that there will be serious economic and humanitarian impact. And that's why it's good that the Secretary General of the UN and others are already starting to look at how do we deal with the medium to longer term consequences that are not just about health, but about the well-being, economic and humanitarian well-being. And for sure, because Gaza was already significantly weakened after the years of occupation and 14 years of blockade, the impact in terms of economy and humanitarian consequences will be severe here. I think that's reasonable to assume. And we must already and have started as UNRWA with others to think through what could those consequences be and what can we do to help the refugees cope with the impact.